Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined once again in the studio with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing this afternoon, Letitia?
We're doing great. I'm just texting. Sorry.
I know. I was like, distraction. Yeah, look over here.
Someone's like, have you done the podcast? I'm like, and we're on air now.
We're on air right now, actually. We've had a busy day.
We have. Busy.
We went and saw a new film.
We did.
And what did we see, Letitia?
We saw Megalopolis. His opus, Mr. Yep. Francis Ford Coppola.
We did. We did see that. We went and decided to go out and see this because we saw it went to Cannes and it made a bit of a stir over there. And we were like, oh, we're a bit of a cinema aficionado. So we want to see what it's all about. We can't explain it to you on air, unfortunately, because that was a fever dream of a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the only way to describe it. Or a mind bleep. We're going to leave that out there.
It's, as we said before, as we were kind of like trying to understand what we were meaning about this movie was like, look, I got to give props to the man for, you know, going seeing his vision through to the end.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah.
Like no one obviously from a studio had input being like, hey, this or this might not be working, change it up. It was his incomplete vision and it was his magnum opus that he always wanted to create from well back in the day in the 80s, I think he wrote it.
Yeah.
And he finally got to do it. Personally, it doesn't make sense as a film, but look, you got to give him props where it's due.
Yes. No, if you're curious and you enjoy cinema, it's worth the watch just to get to experience just something that you're not going to experience again from Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, it's nothing like anything else he's ever made.
No, and I still don't really know what it is about, but there's like a 20-minute long interview with him that I've found, so we will endeavour to check that out and come back to you next week with hopefully more explanation, but probably not. yeah, just a bizarre choice all around.
Yeah, it was I'm glad we still went. I still enjoyed it. I can't explain the film to you, but I had a good time watching it, if that makes sense.
It was so surreal. And there was a moment at the very end, we'd walked out of the cinema and the man that was sitting in front of us went to the lady that was like working the tickets and went, have you seen Megalopolis? She went, yes. He goes, what was it about?
Yeah, we just walked past and laughed because we were like, yeah, I'm glad we're not the only ones that just did not get what the hell just happened for 2.5 hours.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Aubrey Plaza, but I don't know what it's about.
No, I can't explain it to you. But it's really something. I do want to say to the audience, thank you for putting up with the fact that we took a week off.
Yes, thank you.
I obviously went into Spooky Island and picked something up on the way back. So anyone who's not aware of what Spooky Island is, it was Tangalooma. We went over there for a work conference. And on the last day, I started to feel a bit ill just before we started recording. So I said to Tish, I was like, look, let's just be safe. I don't want you to catch anything. I don't want to be like, you know, trying when I can't do it. I just don't have the energy for it. So let's take a week. I'll give us some more time to watch some things as well as, you know, recovering. I'm feeling a lot better now.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice. But thank you so much for your patience while we get well.
Yes. That evening when I came back and wasn't feeling too crash hot, I did put on back-to-back both Scooby-Doo movies once I got home because I was like, look, I'm pretty low on energy. I need to feel better. What better than watch the two films on the island that I went to and filmed on? So it was very exciting to actually see some of the sets and know where they filmed it. Like, it looks very different now. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's been like 20 years.
The building structures are still there. But they've had a complete 360, 180, like, facelift, like, from what it looks like.
Right. I've still not been to Tangalooma, so I've got no reference.
It felt a bit weird going across the Yeah. Like the barge bridge to the island, because it's the same one. That hasn't changed. It's concrete now compared to wooden back in the movie. But I was like, oh, this still has that same feel as they had walking onto the island. It was really cool. Apparently they actually filmed, you know, the one with George Clooney and Julia Roberts they did recently called
Ticket to Paradise.
That's also filmed on Tangalooma, which I didn't know. So I might watch that soon just to see, because that will be obviously, it's a more recent one. I'll be able to see the actual buildings that I went into for the conference. So I'm very excited to watch that this week.
Should be fun. Yeah, no, I had a big week of just watching a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff happened over the last 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Maggie Smith, poor old day Maggie Smith.
Oh, yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's unfortunately passed away. There was that thing, I don't know if you saw it on like social media, where a bunch of different people who are fans of Harry Potter went to Universal Studios and they held their wands up as like the tribute from the last film. And I just read the first comment being like, Maggie Smith would have hated this.
Yeah.
she probably would have. But I get the sentiment.
I shared the thing this morning of when there's an interview she did on
Graham Norton.
That's the one, Graham Norton. I'm like trying to think of the sets. I'm like, it's all orange. Yeah,
I like him as a presenter, by the way.
And a kid once said, "Were you really a cat?" And she just found herself saying, "Pull yourself together."
I saw that thing, yeah. And I was like, who asked that? Like,
a small child asked
that. I get that, but it's like also like, it's Harry Potter. Come on, like, snap out of it. Pull yourself together.
An icon. What a witty, witty icon.
Yeah, she's very witty. So it's unfortunate that she passed away during the week. But yeah, there's been a lot happening in the zeitgeist. I've been watching a lot of things. I am now up to season 3 in Only Murders of the Building.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm still liking it, but as I spoke to you earlier as well about where the quality sits for this third season, I personally think it takes a dip.
Yeah.
Like, I know they've included a bunch of new, like, guest stars, but I feel like to me that actually takes away from what it is. Like, it's a murder mystery in a building. The three main characters are great enough on their own to hold this story, hold this show together. Just adding more random people because it's like, oh, look, it's Paul Rudd. Oh, look, it's, you know, so-and-so. It's
Meryl, although.
Yeah, it's Meryl Streep in
Meryl's
it.
Meryl.
Yeah, but like, was it necessary? I think it's so far I haven't finished season 3 yet, but it's taking away from like the spark this show had. So a little bit disappointing, and I'm looking forward to getting back to season 4.
Speaking of murders, did you see the news? Obviously, they made the show for, I think, Netflix for the Menendez brothers.
Monsters?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but me it's either. Very popular.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the stuff that's been coming out of his mouth, though? Good old, what's his face that does it? It's escaping me.
Ryan Murphy?
Yeah, that's the one. He's like, the brothers should be thanking me. They haven't got this much press in a long time. I'm like, dude, these, like, obviously, like, yeah, they murdered their parents, which is only bad, right? It's like they were sexually abused. Yeah, like, there was so much going on.
There's more into the story.
And then they just, like, weirdly, he sexualizes it, like, as if they're, like, in love with each other on all the covers. Yeah. And it's like, guys, people got murdered. Like, this isn't sensationalized. Let's
not glorify it anymore.
Sexualize it any more than we already are, Ryan Murphy.
He's an odd duck, that one.
He's an odd duck. And I just keep saying things about it. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, my housemate Ben's watching it. I might wait till he finishes and get started. I don't want to, like, just jump in and watch half an ep he's got on. So I'll wait.
I've heard it's done, like, episodically, each from the perspective of a different character's viewpoint of the story. I don't know, Chloe Sevigny, I don't know why she does so many of Ryan Murphy's things. I'll never understand. But
they must be friends some way back.
I don't know.
Yeah, from what I've walked past the TV when it's been on, it's a lot of the court drama part.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's not so much like the actual
murder of
it. Like, it obviously, it'll have a part that has that in it, but it's more like the ramifications of.
Yeah, right. Sort of like the people versus OJ type.
Yeah, very similar to that. And obviously, it'll do flashbacks as well as what they were like as kids and how they were treated. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gives a whole story, similar to the Jeffrey Dahmer one. I have seen the second half of that.
Anyway.
It was also good. Well, it's the same series, Monsters. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exciting.
No, I watched a lot of stuff. I've been keeping up with Agatha All Along. I'm having so much fun with that, actually. To begin with, I was like, oh, it might be a bit
like. No, I reckon it's going to be good. I'm not sure
because I'm like off the Marvel train, but this has got me back on.
Has it?
It is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's just, it's stupid. They've kind of like in a fun, stupid way, they've sort of capitalized on the fact that this is so separate from all the other MCU stuff. And they've just gone, what if we just made a really fun show for sort of a different audience than what's normally captured in the MCU dude bro crap. Yeah. I'm having the time of my life watching it. Everyone's fun. Like Catherine Hahn, Aubrey Plaza, Patti LuPone, like they're all just nuts. And it's structured so well. It's like typical TV week to week, episode to episode, which you don't get anymore.
Yeah, I think it must be still be coming close to the end of its series because I think they're only doing like 8 or 10.
Are they? It was only like, I think I've seen episode 4.
Yeah, so it'll be about halfway.
It's about halfway.
Halfway, yeah. So setting it right up now, right?
And I'm like, okay, good. I gotta go watch WandaVision again.
Go back.
I said that I don't need to know, but I'm like, oh, I'm kind of invested now. So I feel like I should understand the context because it's been a long
time. It's been a while. Since, that yeah, being 3 said, years since that came out.
Don't expect me to watch any more Marvel stuff.
I'm not going to ask you, especially not TV stuff. It's a bit grim. I've got a funny story, actually. So during my time at Tangalooma, we obviously all get a room each. And in my room, the internet was horrific. And it cost money to get the Wi-Fi. Like, it was like 200 megs free. And then it was like something like $10 a gig. It was ridiculous. So whenever we'd finish like and go back to our rooms to, you know, end the evening, I was like, oh, God damn it. The next 4 days, I'm not going to have anything to watch. And I just turned the TV on and it has a Netflix button. And I'm like, oh, look, I'll press it. Someone left their login details logged into the Netflix in the room's TV. I was like, well, here I go. It was like Tina or someone. It's some random name. So I was like, oh, well, let's go. So I ended up watching like 2 random movies. I was pretty tired. So I ended up watching Blue Beetle, which is a DC movie, which surprisingly loved. It was a fresh take on like an origin story from a Latin American background. And it like with those topics and themes, it handled it very well. So I actually quite enjoyed it. I definitely recommend it. And I watched on the second night, I watched World War Z.
Yes. I went to the cinemas to see that with school. Did you? Yeah, some school excursion. We got to go see it.
It wasn't terrible.
No.
It wasn't like amazing because I think zombies is kind of pretty well said and done by now. But I thought it was pretty good. It's like movie in 2 parts. Obviously the part where he's trying to like escape with his like wife and kids. And then he goes on like a tour de force of the world to try and like work out a cure. So it's more like his story after that. It was fine. It was really enjoyable. And I was glad I didn't have to pay for it. Netflix.
Definitely haven't seen it since then.
They're bringing it on 4K, so into stores. So it's like a new release. That's why I watched it because I was like, oh, might be something to pick up. But I was like, now I know.
You know what? I'll leave that one.
I'll leave that one. It's good enough to watch once.
Yeah, I enjoyed it when I...
But yeah, they're the 2 films I watched while logged in. So Tina will might see like previously watched and it's like Blue Beetle and World War Z.
I don't recall this.
Well, they watched a lot of anime, it was all suggesting a lot of like My Hero Academia and all those ones and similar ones like that. I was like, oh, I can, not for me.
Goodbye, next, algorithm.
Please. I'm going to screw up your algorithm.
Shannon.
Why is there so much Brad Pitt coming
what
up?
What is going on?
What is happening here? But definitely recommend Blue Beetle.
I ended up watching White Chicks for the first time.
Oh, please tell me about that experience because that is a movie that probably would never get made today.
Yeah, 100%. So like, I'd never seen it just because it wasn't on in our household or whatever. And my mum was like, oh, my friends told me it's funny. I'm going to put it on. And I think I must have been sitting in the lounge at the time because I can't imagine I would have gone out of my way to sit down to watch it. But I was like, oh, whatever. Okay. Like, I've never seen it. Everyone talks about it. Maybe it's time that I understand, you know, pop culture.
Well, it's like a snippet in time, right?
My God. Well, it was one of those things where now, because time has passed, you're sitting and you're waiting for the laugh, and it's not really coming.
It's more like shock value.
Yeah.
Now, even then, it was shock value. It's only 2004, but like it was still like it's like, oh, are they doing that? Like, you know what I mean?
So
it's the Wayans brothers. Anyone who hasn't seen it. It's the Wayans brothers dressing up as white chicks to go undercover because they're cops, right, from memory. And I don't know about you, but, like, the actual outfits and the skin tones and that just looked horrific when they were dressed up as like these white girls. And they're playing up like the Paris Hilton type white girls from like back in 04. So like super like princessy kind of bimbo types. And it's just hijinks with them acting like that. It's got Terry Crews in it who falls in love with one of
Terry Crews, his bits were good.
Fantastic.
Some of it very inappropriate, but the bits that were like, you know,
with the song in the car that has been memed a thousand times. It's,
yeah, 1,000 miles. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's probably the only bit that still you can laugh at.
Yeah.
The rest was.
Look, here's the thing. Like, I know it was a time and place, and if I put it on now, I think I'd be like, look, I'm going to take it pretty lighthearted. It's, I know it's not trying to super offend a lot of people. It's just trying to have a laugh.
It wasn't even that it was
offensive
now. It's just like our humor's changed so much. Yeah,
100%. Quick, hold my poodle.
You're like, okay.
Like, it's very funny. And him, like, he orders food for him.
Yeah.
And how much he ends up eating. Yeah, it's just little jokes. It's definitely not perfect.
Yeah, it's one that, it's so bizarre to watch the first time now. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a slice of life from 04. I was 14.
I was 7.
Yeah.
So.
It's gone way back.
Way back.
Would you recommend it?
Probably.
You can say probably not.
No, it's one of those ones where it's like, if you've never seen it, probably not.
If you've seen it before.
If you've seen it before, you'll love it.
You'll love it because you've seen it before,
Yeah, it's very much hard to watch now having never seen it. Previously, yeah.
And it also depends on who you're recommending it to that's and how they'll take
your
things.
Humor and stuff like that. Yeah.
Comedy's hard. Yeah. Anything else you've watched this week?
I watched a lot of stuff in the last 2 weeks. I'll just talk about some really kind of good ones that I watched. I watched Will and Harper,
the documentary. Tell me about that. I haven't watched it yet.
With Will Ferrell and his friend Harper Steele. And it's they go on this journey across America because Will's friend Harper transitions and she still wants to go visit all these places that she used to like, you know, like truck stops and all these places now, but she's like, oh, it's kind of dangerous for me to go now as a woman. And Will's like, okay, cool, but I still want to do a trip with you anyway because I want to ask you all these questions and just sort of figure out who they are as friends
given the change.
Yeah, given the change and like sort of nothing's really changed, but like let's still spend time together.
Yeah.
It is one of the most beautiful documentaries
I've heard I have seen. Yeah, I've heard it's quite
funny.
Good and worth seeing.
But very touching. Yeah. And I think it's a film that everyone should see, like no matter who you are and how much you've got to do with like the trans community or not, and just watch it because you're a human being in this world.
Yeah.
And it's mostly like, yeah, it's obviously going to be political in the sense that you can't be a minority and not be part of the political conversation, but it's mostly just a exploration of friendship.
Yeah. That's great. I will check this out. Yeah.
So good. I made my mum watch it. Well, I didn't make her watch it. I just told her about a very funny scene in it.
And then she's like,
oh, I should watch that. And I was like,
Yes, you should actually. Yes, you should. Yeah, I will check that out. It's popped up a couple of times on my Netflix and I think I've added it to the watch list now.
No, definitely worth watching. And then I watched another one last Sunday. I watched His Girl Friday from 1940.
Oh, okay.
And that's much fun with this.
Yeah,
just the way that they talk, like their transatlantic accent, mile a minute, super, super witty because there's no swearing and stuff like that, but they're able to like get their point across in such scathing ways and it's just so like punchy. It's about a woman who used to work for a newspaper and she's like, well, I'm getting remarried. And she goes to see her ex and she's like, hey, how you doing? How's it been? Yeah, cool. Just letting you know, I'm getting married. And he's like, oh, whoa. Really? I could have you write for this newspaper still. I still really like you. And he sort of entraps her in a way where he's like, one more paper. Come on, write one more paper for me. And it's just hijinks ensue pretty much. And I had a lot of fun with it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Black and white?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget that. Yeah.
And it's so hard to understand what they're saying because you think I talk fast.
You do, but I've gotten used to your type of
Oh my God, this is like
it's like
and
snappy,
over top of
snappy,
each other. Yeah. It's great.
So we do it, but we know each other's saying. I feel sorry for people in this podcast sometimes when we're both saying things to each other, but we're also both listening. It happens quite often, yeah. Actually. We know what each other is saying, but then if you listen back, it's just two voices at once. So we're deeply not too sorry. Bad at that. We do it a lot when we get both excited about a point.
Yeah, I'm trying to like hold back.
I know, we both do. We both do. Getting, it's just calm and reserved.
But I think also like on the topic of the poor people at home listening, I think we've got some new people listening. So yeah. If you are new, thank you so much. And I hope you're enjoying us. We've been at it a while and
yeah, we still haven't kind of fine tuned it, but that's why you keep coming back, right? It's the excitement of what's going to happen next.
Yeah, no, I don't know why you keep coming back, but thank you. And I hope you're enjoying it. Yes. Yeah, get in touch if you want. We're always curious about who you are and if our like little website that tells us where you're from is accurate and if we have people from the Republic of Congo or if it's someone using a like little VPN. We don't know.
We don't know. Either way, it's fine with
also
us.
Also, a lot from Germany, apparently. Yeah, if you're from Germany.
Germans love us.
Hello, right in.
It's been good. I'll go through one more film before we kind of probably should get into topic. I watched the movie Wolves, which is an Apple TV Plus movie starring George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Did you get Apple TV Plus?
No, God, no. Okay, I got this one for free.
I was like, well, wow, Shannon, you've got Apple TV Plus? Jesus Christ, where's not the login? Chance. Like, what are you watching?
No, I don't want to up their population on the app by 50%.
You're yeah, saying. Okay.
No. Fair call. Now I got a free access to this one, so I checked it out, and obviously it's got George Clooney and Brad Pitt, who haven't teamed up since Ocean's 11 trilogy. Mm-hmm. So it's been a good nearly 20 years, I think, since they've both been on screen together. And I expected it to be quite good, you know, pretty witty in that it's about, they're both fixers, right? So say someone kills someone who's got a lot of money, they call them up, well, each of them up and go, hey, I need you to sort out this dead body that's in my penthouse.
Please.
Yeah. But in this particular situation, they both get called into the same job. And then to do it, they have to actually both work together. They're forced to work together to finalize this particular job.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but could you imagine us doing that job together?
Oh, my God. Quick, dispose of the body. And it's just like it's them bickering for like basically 2 hours. And they bounce off each other quite well. This movie isn't getting like great reviews online, but I had a really good time with it. Like it was supposed to be pretty subdued and reserved. It was basically just about them two interacting on screen. Like I think a lot of people expected a lot more to happen. There is a third character who kind of steals the show. It's one of the younger actors. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's in Euphoria and he's fantastic in it. He's so neurotic. He does this really cool like monologue in the middle of the film that he's like, stuck in a hotel room with these two guys and they're just asking what the hell happened. And he just like loses it. He just like goes on for like 5 minutes about like what's happened to him up until this point. And he's just like slowly building, getting like louder. And it's like really cool. I liked it. I would suggest checking it out. I had fun, but don't expect like this wild ride of a story. It's more about their interaction about these two characters and how they build from where they are and to where they get to in terms of like a relationship. And obviously the namesake's called Wolves, W-O-L-F-S, because they're lone wolves.
Oh, okay, so there's two lone wolves.
Exactly, not wolves. It's about them not working together, but then eventually working together. So that's the name of the, it's a play on words. I liked it, so I can check it out. That's the last one from me.
We just had an English lesson with Shannon.
Yeah, I mansplained how to spell wolves. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you for that.
You got anything else before we crack into Jordan Peele this week?
I mean, I don't think so. I did a lot of watching, but a lot of it was like sort of homework for the next couple of weeks.
Whenever it's those ones, I'm like, oh, I'll just save it for the actual.
We'll save it. I did watch Ellen DeGeneres's
For Your Approval thing. Because I did see that pop up too.
Here's why I watched it. I'd seen something online about it and I thought, I don't want to make any assumptions
until
I've seen it myself. Mm-hmm. And I had nothing better to do. So I watched it and I'd laughed at one of her specials in the past. Couldn't tell you which one, but I remember watching it and finding it funny. This one was just bad.
Was it her trying to explain why she got canceled?
Partly it was that. Partly it was her telling you what she'd been up to, which is chickens.
Nothing really. So there's no point to this special.
It was like more absolving herself for what happened.
100%, that's what I figured.
But it wasn't really funny and she didn't really absolve herself.
I didn't find her funny when she had her own show. I've watched back episodes and I'm like, you're actually mean. Actually cruel and mean. Why do people watch this?
I don't know. It's just, there's a whole, it was a commentary on a whole lot of things. And I think some points she made And I say some very loosely. You're like, okay, yeah, fair enough. But also, like, I don't know. And it was hard to watch too because the people that they'd put in to the fill audience, the seats were like mega, super mega fans instead of just like, you know, a general audience. So like she'd say nothing and they were clapping.
Ugh.
So it kind of, it made it even more uncomfortable to watch. Yeah,
boosted her up even more than she probably already thinks she is.
Yeah,
anyway.
I don't know. I just think
she needs to go away quietly, I think.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, the first time she went off air was like a real bummer and like good on her for getting herself back on air and everything like that. Mm. Like, you know, it's a hard thing to do and she did well. But then, you know, she made her brand being, you know, the nice person, which is always going to be a bad idea anyway because people are people and people do crap things. But then, yeah, just, I don't know. It didn't really sell it for me.
No.
Yeah. Probably not worth watching, actually.
Well, your commentary on this is, in case you're wondering, Shannon, it was very bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, thank you for your little tidbit
when
notes
I put it
there,
in there,
so
I felt
won't
like,
watch
I felt
it.
Like I had to, like, not justify it, but just be like, hey, I just didn't
this
watch
is why
this
I watched
it was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Hey, this is why I watched it. But I just wanted to check it out.
Well, I don't rate on like Letterboxd.
No, I know.
So
I
thought, Jesus, I better just,
explain
you know,
myself.
Like I watched this and, you know, yeah.
All right. Well, on that absolutely humongous note, let's get into Jordan Peele.
Yes, let's do it. It's Halloween month.
It's Halloween.
Spooktober, I believe the kids call it.
Spookytober.
I
don't know.
Cut the Y.
Oh, okay.
Spooktober.
It's like I've been calling Megalopolis, Megalolopolis.
Yeah, you just added some syllables.
Look, I'm going to keep doing it.
Should we be on air?
Look, you've given me a platform.
No, you gave yourself a platform.
I did. I created this. I created a monster.
Oh, wow.
Back to Jordan Peele.
Yes.
So, if anyone who is not aware of Jordan Peele, he is a member of Key & Peele, who has done a lot of comedy sketches over the years when he was younger, from 2012 to 2015. He kind of branched off in recent years, probably from around 2017, to create his own kind of movies. He wanted to become a director, and he's mainly done things in the horror genre. So he's done Get Out, Us, and Nope is the big three films that he's done. Have you seen any of Key & Peele?
I had seen a couple of skits. I didn't necessarily realize they were Key & Peele, and you said these are Key & Peele, and I said, okay.
That makes sense,
Like the
A.A. Ron
and stuff like that. So I'd definitely seen bits of it. I went and did my homework, and I watched a fair few more just to get
a gist of
the kind of comedy they were doing and stuff like that. And I think very smart comedy.
Mm.
These dudes were like, I mean, obviously, right?
They're both very switched on individuals.
And I think that's why getting into Jordan Peele, I think that's why he did so well in horror, because there is, in the same as it sounds, there is a similarity between horrors and comedies in that the pacing has to be so spot on and specific for it to land, and just the timing, like you want to get in, you want to get out as quick as possible.
Absolutely.
Like that kind of structure, it's kind of this two sides of the same coin type of thing. So the fact that he could do comedy well kind of goes, okay, he understands what he needs to make a successful horror, which is kind of,
And I think on the same vein, like with comedy, and especially the type of comedy that Key & Peele were making, like it's satire to the nth degree, right? Like you have to understand what it is, how to make fun of it, and how it's going to land. I think with his particular type of directing and the style of his three horror films is, it's the same type of thing. Like it's a commentary on aspects of life, particularly the African American experience. And what he does is he kind of pokes fun out of it from a horrific point of view, but that's how he's landed it. He's used his kind of techniques out of comedy to kind of showcase that in his directing style.
He's very, very smart. Yeah. And I appreciate, even if they're not necessarily like some of my favorite films, all of them, I can really appreciate the work that he puts in because he's got such a strong vision in his films. And coming from seeing like Megalopolis this morning, for example, that just was just a mess in terms of vision. I mean, obviously he had one, but it was very broad. Like Jordan Peele is so specific in what he wants to create in the world, in the tone, in the characters and how they work and what is the message that he's telling.
The message is the important part of these films.
Yeah, they're so specific. And I can't fault him on the specificity in which he creates these films. No. It's, I haven't seen maybe another director in a while that gets this specific in the horror genre.
No.
Like a lot of people want to do it, but he makes it commercial still.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And not one that's come out the gate. Like if you think about his first horror film, Get Out, and how strong of an entry into the horror genre that is, it's just unheard of, to be honest, that anyone has done that before.
It was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, which it won.
Yeah.
And Best Actor for Daniel Kaluuya. Is that how you say his name?
Kaluuya, yeah.
Just, it doesn't happen.
Not for,
especially,
not for your debut.
Oh, I've been doing a lot of comedy skits.
Yeah.
And then now I'm going to move into a new genre. And this is what I present.
Incredible.
It's so incredible. So this one, like, let's just talk about Get Out.
Yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Get really into it. Yeah. It's got Daniel Kaluuya, Alison Williams, Bradley Whitford, and Catherine Keener, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Written and directed, obviously, by Jordan Peele. And, like, how good is this film?
I love it. I love it. Because you don't get, like, the plot twist till later on. So you're really like, this is weird. These white people are acting so strange towards this black man who's turned up. Because the whole idea is it's a young African-American visits his white girlfriend's parents for the weekend.
And they're very like waspy vibes.
Yeah, yeah, they're very like pretentious style white people. So he's obviously like worried about being uneasy and like how they're going to treat him and stuff. And kind of that, how that portrays on screen then kind of goes very deep.
Yeah, because I mean, I rewatched this week because it had been a long time since I'd seen it. I think I watched it maybe like 2019, 2020. So I was a little bit late to the game, but so I rewatched it and just the fact that he's there, you know, at the very beginning going, okay, do your parents know about me? And she's like, yeah, it's fine. And then he's like, okay, but like, I'm your first black boyfriend and stuff like that. And she's like, yeah, but it'll be fine. And for so much of this film, and that's what makes it, when the real is she's on his team more than he's on his own team. You know, she's like, no, it's okay. Or no, that's not okay. Like they get pulled over from the cop and she's like, what the hell are you doing? That's not okay. You can't do that. And he's like, no, it's okay. It's cool. Like,
yeah, until you realize
no big deal. It's no big deal.
She doesn't want a paper trail.
It's,
which is why she said all those things, because she didn't want him to get a ticket or anything.
Yeah, it's just this. It's
very layered.
Layered.
You don't realize it till much later. And obviously you get the full story and you know what's going out, and here's going to be some spoilers. Ding, ding, ding. There's going to be spoilers for the next couple of minutes.
Episode, really. We're just going
to... Yeah, look, it's been out for a while. If you don't watch them first and come back. Once you find out that obviously they're stealing black bodies and putting the white, older white generational people's brains inside them.
Which is so...
It's a concept.
In of itself.
Yeah.
Horrific.
And the way it's portrayed when they're having like the dinner party with all the white people that are basically just studying him.
Yeah.
To see if he's good enough to be auctioned off of. Because there's an auction that happens later.
Him. Yeah.
And just some of the questions he gets asked, and because he doesn't have the context. They all do. He doesn't. So it's just really kind of like white people trying to be not racist, but then becomes wildly racist.
Oh, absolutely.
And just that is a commentary itself on how white people try to not be racist, but end up being racist.
And the experience of being like one of the only African-American people in a room, or like, you know, the minority in a room of other people. Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible. And just some of the questions like, one of the guys says, oh, being black is really cool right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, who says that? Like, it's just so random.
It's so...
And when he goes upstairs, everyone goes quiet and just looks up towards the room. It's just very eerie.
And then
it's a very creepy movie.
You're uncomfortable with the cook, the African-American cook, and then the groundskeeper, because they're the only, like...
Other black people.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, why? And then towards the end, you realize that this is a generational idea I don't know what you want to call it.
Experience where they are doing this thing. It's like the actual, well, the groundskeeper is the granddad.
It's the granddad. She's grandma. Which is just like.
Yeah.
I think it's not until you see that you realize, like, because obviously you're slowly putting the pieces together, but.
Because they act really creepily and he's like, he obviously looks at it from like, okay, well, this person has employed African Americans to be the help, and that's why he sees us as right. Like, so that's a perspective to Daniel's character. But in the end, you realize when they're actually grandma and granddad, and they're actually in on it, helping them get this thing to all come together. I did read this thing last night about like some of the kind of like motifs and themes is when, you know how he's strapped down in the chair and he's watching that really old TV that kind of basically
brainwashes him,
basically explains to what's happening to him and what's going to happen. You know how he picks at the chair and then he puts the cotton in his ears. The cotton's kind of like a symbolism of like what actually ends up saving him, which is kind of like, you know, I guess the history of the African-American experience in America when, you know, the African-American slaves were cotton picking quite a bit. It's just like Jordan Peele's put that in there as like to turn it on his head that actually helped him survive this white white oppression.
Yeah, sort of what the people that had come before him had done and endured.
Yeah. And he's used that as like a countermeasure as like what actually saved him rather than what actually put him into slavery.
Yeah.
It's kind of like crazy how much he has actually thought about even the intricacies of every single part of this film.
He's so smart. That's what I mean. Yeah. And then like even having his friend, like his best mate, as a counterpart who is that
TSA.
You know, yeah, because I think you watch a lot of horror films and it's like, you know, like the minorities are getting picked off first and
they
stuff like that.
They usually are a trope, right?
Yeah, it's like it's a trope of horror, and then also there's also the trope of horror in the commentary where a lot of, you know, people that aren't white watch it and go, oh, white people, come on. Like they keep making these decisions that land them in trouble. Like you wouldn't see me going in that room. Like I'd be out of there kind of thing. So he's that commentary that allows you then as an audience to watch it and go, yeah, I'm with that guy. Like, get out.
Get out, yeah.
But then the way that, like, Jordan's done this film, because I watched, like, I was watching a couple interviews he did with Conan O'Brien, actually, because the comedy and stuff like that, and it's how he slowly does it with this film. It's kind of like a frog in a pot, where he's just slowly is turning up the heat because if, you know, something was sus, the beginning,
away,
you'd be like,
I'm out.
I'm out.
It's just enough to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell that too.
It's just enough to keep him there until it all kind of eventually. And I just think audiences are nuts, right? Because I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you about that guy that I ran into when I was in the city last time.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember
this
that guy.
Nuts Canadian dude that had come off a plane. Mm. And he was telling us how Get Out was a comedy. And I was like, I don't think you know satire.
No, I don't think you understand satire.
I was rewatching it waiting for the comedy and I was
There's no comedy whatsoever.
No comedy whatsoever.
No.
But then also like this idea of like the white audiences. I remember when Alison Williams was on some talk show for it years ago and people would come up to her, like white people would come up to her and be like, oh, but like she was only doing it for this reason or she was only, and she'd just be there like,
No,
she's just evil. She's like, she's not just a good character. Evil. Like, there's no justification for her at all whatsoever. Like, obviously, in some films, there's justification for characters, of course.
Yeah, 100%.
This film is like, no.
Pure
evil. She's in on this very sick, evil, racist, mental escapade that her family's on.
Yeah.
She's the only evil, that character. That's her only purpose.
She literally like guns him down at the end with a shotgun.
Literally.
And
Yeah, but the fact that there's people in America
that are trying to justify her actions.
They're trying to justify the actions.
No, that's the whole point of the film. Like,
no.
No.
No, and it's just it's scary.
It's scary, very scary.
Yeah.
Would you recommend?
I 100% recommend Get Out. I mean, not if we've just spoiled the whole thing, but...
Yeah, for anyone who wants to still see it.
Yeah, no, 100% would recommend Get Out.
Yeah.
It's very, very well done.
Yeah.
And if you're into horror...
His films are elevated horror. It's like horror with a thought process.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have to think about it. It's not just like blood and guts the whole time.
No.
That's what I like about his films. Next is Us.
Yeah, I
2019.
I'd missed this one. I only watched that this week.
Yeah, last I want to get your
whatever.
Your take
I only just
it.
Watched it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed this one. Didn't think I was going to at the beginning. I was like, oh god, what am I in for?
Is that when the second family turns up?
Yeah,
and you're a bit like, what is this?
I was like, I don't want to be here for this. I don't want to be here for this. This is going to, you know.
It's a bit creepy.
Yeah.
But it's done well.
Yeah, it ended up sort of taking a slightly different tone to what I
expected it to
was
be.
In for.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but yeah, I enjoyed this one though.
Mm.
It's
soundtrack's banging. absolutely banging. I listened to it many a times afterwards. One of those ones where I'm like, oh, put it on.
I wasn't necessarily surprised by the twist.
No.
At the end of this. I think there was enough little hints.
100%. And that's going in. That's what he does as well. Is he doesn't blindside you. It's like, no, I drip fed it to you. Yeah. If you were smart enough to be following it, you would have probably worked out some of the plot twists I do in my movies. And especially this one.
Yeah. So this one stars Lupita Nyong'o, Winston Duke, Elizabeth Moss, a couple others, obviously.
Yeah. So it's written and directed again by him.
Yeah. So in the plot of this one is, in order to get away from their busy lives, the Wilson family take a vacation to Santa Cruz, California. And at night, four strangers break into Adelaide's childhood home and the family is shocked to discover their intruders look just like them.
Yeah. Which, it's the fear of doppelgangers. Yeah.
No, thank you.
I watched a couple of behind the scenes on this one and yeah, he was just chatting briefly to like a junket piece and he was just like, I basically wrote it out of the fact that like one of my biggest fears is like, you know, seeing myself. Like, and that's why he wrote it. It's basically just a horror film about doppelgangers. And
yeah.
It gets pretty kind of like philosophical towards the end.
Yeah.
But I think the concept's really strong. I think this is probably his weakest of the three, but yeah. I still enjoyed it.
I think that's the thing, like his concepts are so strong. And at the beginning, this one talks about the tunnels in America.
Yeah.
And what they're used for, which is sort of nothing now, but under America, there's just thousands of tunnels for ages.
And
which is just weird and spooky in of itself. Yeah,
it's a weird concept. Like why was it built?
Why are there tunnels? Like, why can we just walk through the tunnels? And then, yeah, like the Adelaide's character is a little girl. She goes to a fair and she runs off and she goes into a hall of mirrors, which
creepy enough.
And then she comes out of it, but she's not the same.
Mm.
And then, you know.
Lo and behold, you get slowly drip fed the story. And then throughout this experience that the family goes through, in the climax, you obviously realize that during that carnival scene when she was younger, they actually swap bodies.
Yeah. Oh, this one is gory though. So if you want a gory Jordan Peele movie, this one's the
way more bloody one.
Oh my God. The way that these people, not just like Adelaide's character is the lead, but just the rest of the kids and stuff, just go to town on their doppelganger. They're pretty brutal. They're ready for it.
Yeah. Winston Duke with the bow.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, he's not coming back. Nah. Yeah, all right.
Like Elizabeth Moth.
Oh, yeah.
Like
the neighbors. The twins, like, the twin girls.
Yeah.
That was creepy.
That was kind of like.
There's four of them. Yeah. I was like, it's too much. Yeah. No, it's too many of them.
I'm a twin, but I'm not an identical twin. No. I think, thank God, because two of her or two of me.
Two of you?
Too many. Too many.
You need to cut your hair. I need to know which one's you. You look the same.
Do we?
No, you don't. Yeah, I said God. If you were identical twins, I'd be like, one of you would have to cut your hair. I need to know. Great concept. And I think it was fun.
Yeah.
But probably the weakest of the three films.
This one still, though, it broke US box office numbers, becoming the biggest opening for an R-rated original film when it was released in March of 2019.
But yeah, at the time.
Which, you know what, like...
That's huge.
That's huge. It's coming off the back of, like, obviously
it's
one...
second film.
Insane Picture. And then doing this one, just...
I saw this the week it came. I saw this in cinemas, yeah. I saw both this and Nope, what we'll talk about later, in cinemas.
I saw Nope as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much us. It's horror doppelganger film, and I loved it.
Yeah, he's done a little bit in between. Like, he went to then do some of the Twilight Zone. He did the Candyman...
He wrote it.
Yeah.
So he didn't direct it. It was Nia DaCosta who did the second Captain Marvel film as well.
Oh.
She did.
Yep. The second Captain Marvel film. Is there two?
Yeah, you know, there's Captain Marvel, then there's the Marvels.
Oh, the Marvels. Yeah, I forgot.
She did the Marvels.
Right.
Same director as Candyman who he wrote for.
Yeah, I think he's like obviously staying in this space now.
Yeah, horror is his space. He knows he's found himself. Done. Very well.
He's already. One of the biggest names in horror at the moment.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is such a feat in of itself, I think.
Just the thing that he's only been around for like, well, obviously Get Out only came out in 2017, so it would have been made in 2016. It's been 8 years. The fact that you've had that much of an impact on a genre in less than a decade.
And especially as like an African-American man, which is just not typical of that genre. They don't really like, you know.
just don't play in that space.
Yeah. And he's made such a name for himself that that's kind of gone away. Like, there's no one's talking about that. No one's thinking about that. He's just one of the new big guys in horror now.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what the fourth film.
Yeah, he's got something in production, I think, or pre.
Something to do with Monkey Paw, I think.
Well, that's his production company.
Yeah, I think it's involving that storyline, though. I think. Don't hold me to it. Like you know, cool. the wishes and what happens with them and stuff. Bear with me on that.
All right.
Nope. What did you think of this chilling horror film?
I really wanted to rewatch this film, but it's not on streaming.
Time pending.
Currently, but I loved this film.
Yeah, this is the creepiest one for me.
Not my fave, like not perfect, I don't think, in my memory of it. But I had such a good time seeing it. I went by myself on my birthday, I think I must have been a couple of years ago. Had nothing to do on my birthday. I was like, cool, I'm going to go see a film. Yeah. So I went to see it. We were talking about this a bit earlier today. Yeah. The cinema that I went to see it in was pitch black. Like, none of the lights were working. The exit light wasn't even working. Like, the whole thing was pitch black. And I walked in and I was like, oh God, I'm going to die in here. And I sort of got my little phone torch out, which is just not bright enough.
No, especially in a dark room that size.
Trying to find my seat. Like, kind of crap in my dax. Anyway, I find my seat. I'm like, okay, cool. We'll just wait till something happens. Like, either the lights will come on or the film will come on, and that's good enough for me. And then someone come in, and I was like, oh, hi. Yes, the lights don't work. You need to touch. Because I didn't want to scare them.
Like, yeah, when they pop in, yeah.
Anyway, the lights didn't come on. I was like, okay, great. And then eventually they come on as the film comes on. I was like, sweet. Okay, we're ready to go. It's going to be a good experience. And then the sound doesn't come on, and I was like, oh, boy. So I, like, crawled out of my seat, went to find someone. I was like, you might want to fix the sound before the film goes on, or we're all in trouble. And anyway, went, watched it, had a great time. I think everyone was fantastic in this film. I enjoyed the tone. I love kind of alien type stuff. It's like right up my alley.
Yeah, I liked it because it didn't kind of straight away tell you that this is a UFO film. It kind of like starts off like some weird phenomenon's happening over the countryside that they live in, with the dropping all the, I don't remember the coins and the keys and that. And it kills the dad.
Like, it would take all like the metal.
Yeah, it does. The magnetic. It sucks everything up and then it kind of consumes the bio stuff and then drops the metal stuff it can't consume. It's very kind of full on. And there's that one scene where it's kind of actually consuming the people and it's really suffocating.
Yeah.
Intense. Very intense. It does look like a UFO. Once it gets revealed, and then it morphs into something else. And yeah, I kind of loved it.
Yeah, and this one was like an homage to like old school filmmakers, because they were in the film business in that they
were the horse wranglers.
Yeah, they wrangled all the horses that were in a lot of like the early westerns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then there's the bit with the monkey with Stephen.
Yeah, there was that side story with the monkey that he was and the shoe that sat straight up. And that was the whole idea was like, you know.
It was sort of like
unexplainable miracle.
A microcosm of what the film then is. Yeah. But again, my memory on that is a little fuzzy because it was.
It did have relevance to the bigger story. Yeah. A lot of people didn't have the connection, but I'm like, no, it kind of made sense. The illusion was there.
But yeah, again, this one was like very specific. He cast like Daniel Kaluuya again. Kiki Palmer was fantastic in it.
The standout for this.
I had so much fun with her character because she didn't take it seriously. Like, I mean, she took the bits that she needed to seriously. She was just
very big character.
But a big character. Big character. Which kind of you needed because there wasn't a lot going on. It was very vast nothing in this California ranch. So you needed someone to kind of keep you like.
Yeah. With
not
that,
interested, but like.
Just a hook.
Yeah.
She was a hook of a character. She was a hook. You kept watching
and
because of her.
And she was kind of the voice of reason at times and also. Like, she was the motivation for her brother to keep like doing what they're doing the whole time.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed
this one. I might watch it again soon.
I think where it fell off for me
was when it evolved.
Was when it revealed what it was. Yeah, and it's I was like, true form,
It kind of gets a bit chaotic. Especially the way they kind of save the day with the big blow up kind of thing. But other than that, I thought it was really well done. the atmosphere was the biggest part of this film. I think it built atmosphere from the get-go really well because you just have no idea what the hell is happening from the start.
And it's that idea of like you it's like fight or flight is often your reaction. But it's like that thing where they didn't want to look at it as well, I think.
Yeah, well, it would hide in the clouds.
That's right.
And it was taking their horses. But they just didn't know what was happening. And then it slowly became revealed that they realized what was in the clouds was actually in the horses. Then they try to get it revealed. Yeah. And then it tries to chase them down. And remember, it's like following him along that during the day.
So intense, that scene.
Full on. And then, yeah, they try and plan to blow it all up. And I don't know if you remember the scene. There's a scene where Keke Palmer's riding a motorcycle. And she rides it into the, you know, the kind of the fun ranch where they're showing off like the show, like after they get killed. When she rides the motorbike in and does the power slide, that's an exact shot by shot from Akira when Akira slides in. Yeah, it's a very iconic bike sliding scene. He's taken that exactly from Akira. I'll show you a comparison video later. So, yeah, he's taken like little bits and pieces from other things that are obviously pretty well renowned and known.
Well, that's what
I love when people do that.
So good at, and you can feel it in his films. There's so many like Easter eggs and layers to his films. It's so intentional. Like like this one, like, yeah, people didn't like it as much because it was a different kind of horror.
Yeah, it was aliens.
But he's like, I want to tell a really crazy balls to the walls alien story, but also the one that's very easily contained, like the rules and the like logic around it is so specific.
Yeah.
Like more than most people just go, ooh, aliens, we don't know what they are. That's scary. But he was like, okay, we don't know what they are. It's scary. We're sort of revealing parts of it, which is even scarier because, oh God, they want us.
Yeah.
And then that reveal at the end.
Yeah.
Kind of changes the story, but.
But still.
Still keeps it. Yeah. Again, just a genius director and writer.
I think so. That's why I'm very keen to see what else he does. He's a very smart man.
Yes, very, very smart.
Mm.
And you know you're getting something that's quality.
Yeah.
Whether it's your favorite, you know, one of the three.
Or you'll get something out of it.
Or whatever. It's just, yeah, there's always something for everyone, I think, in these films.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see what he...
What he does next.
What he keeps doing. Yeah, because like, oh, you know, like I watched one of his others like that he voiced a character in like Wendell and Wild.
Yeah, I saw you recently. Pop this down. It would have been a one like, with Keegan.
Yeah, it's one with Keegan. Yeah. And it was like another one of his like, he was animated and he just like voiced a demon or whatever.
Yeah.
Like not my favorite film necessarily, but still like fun and it fits that like, that horror-esque
It's just genre. A kid's like, version he's like of horror.
Which it was a kind of...
It was pretty full-on for
an
like...
an adult kid's one. Yeah. I mean, the main character's got out of juvie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like young adult.
Yeah, young adult. I think it was based on a graphic novel. Yeah. I mean, not the greatest, not the worst either.
Yeah, like, they've done a little bit of in that, voice acting.
That age group and you want to watch it, like, it's solid.
Worth checking out. Yeah.
But it's just like, he's really sticking to...
His genre now.
His genre.
Yeah. I'm glad about that. He's honed his craft because he's onto something here.
He's like, okay, cool. If I just stay in this world while they're letting me stay in this world kind of thing.
Then I will
can do
make
some
sure
good
I
work.
Do some good work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that is mostly us on Jordan Peele. We can't wait to see more of it. And we can't wait to watch some more like spooky stuff this
more
October.
Spooky October.
So thank you so much for listening. If you're new or old, thank you. And please, we say it every week, but get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at BingeList, or you can email us at BingeList and boxofficehits@gmail.com. We're all on Letterboxd. You can find us there too if you want to check us out. And we will see you next week with some more content. Some
and
more
maybe even an explanation on Megalopolis.
Maybe. We're going to try for you. Not. Yeah. If you guys know what Megalopolis was about,
please write in.
If you understand it better than us, please write in. We are trying to figure it out in our little brains. The whole drive home, we're just quiet.
I'm just a giant question mark in my head right now.
But you know, maybe one day we will make our opus. So thank you so much for listening. See you
next
week.
Thanks, guys. Cheers. Bye.